This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 1st of November 2020. Today is a club focus edition of News West, and we invited amateur radio clubs to provide news of what they've been up to or are intending to get up to. We've got Roy's Helpline, the Club Focus series article, news from clubs in Perth, a result from last week's item on a UHF record claim, information from the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, commentary on the International Amateur Radio Union's Intruder Watch, and more local news, including a silent key tribute for Kevin VK6KR. News West continues to provide an amateur radio news and information service to radio amateurs and enthusiasts, a service that began in Western Australia in 1931. We heard last week that Kevin, VK6 Kilo Romeo, had passed away peacefully on the 21st of October. Greg, VK6 Foxtrot Golf, said that Kevin and he worked on the Red Wave FM transmitters around the state. Greg mainly did stuff up in the Midwest, Goldfields and Pilbara for Red Wave. Red Wave was bought out by Southern Cross Aus Stereo at the beginning of the year, and Kevin was cast adrift when that happened. He was also doing work for the Mandra radio station, which he had just converted the AM license to a digital service about 12 months ago. Broadcast Australia is providing technical support to SCA at the moment, and the two transmitters up here in Geraldton are 10 kilowatt RVR transmitters, which Kevin was the Australian agent for. So Greg was getting a bit of work sent Kevin's way by Broadcast Australia, who Greg also works for as a contractor. Kevin's knowledge of these two transmitters, which are in their twilight years, was definitely useful, as he had commissioned them originally. Greg last saw Kevin in Geraldton about 6 weeks ago, when there were some issues with one of the transmitters, and Kevin and Greg did a fair bit of work on them. Kevin called Greg a couple of Sundays ago and told him that he'd spent a week in intensive care, and he sounded really crook, but he didn't let on what was wrong, but he told Greg that he'd been sent home for the weekend. Kevin's daughter Tracy phoned Greg and they had a long chat, and she gave permission to have his passing mentioned here on News West. Kevin died early on the Thursday morning from lung, liver and bone cancer, and apparently he had only been diagnosed with it 3 weeks ago, so in some ways that might not have been a bad thing. Kevin was 75 years old and will be cremated in a private service as per his wishes. Kevin had a long history of working in the broadcast industry. He used to work at Channel 7 with Kevin, VK6 Alpha Bravo, and at one stage lived at the Channel 7 transmitter where he had set up his ham station. Kevin left behind a son and a daughter. Vale, Kevin, VK6 Kilo Romeo, now silent key.
Amateur radio has a long and rich history in Western Australia, and from our research, we believe the first Western Australian amateur radio club was formed in Perth in 1913, which later became the Wireless Institute of Western Australia. Is there something about amateur radio history that you're aware of, or that you have stashed in a shoebox somewhere? Would you like to share that story with the rest of us? Next week, News West takes a look at amateur radio history, and we'd love to put your story to air. If you do have something to share, just send your story, or your recording, or both, to the News West team, and we'll do the rest. All contributions to News West can be sent as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW. Reminding you that the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's November Bulletin goes to air tomorrow morning. And don't forget, too, that the Tuesday luncheon meetings at the Baisley have resumed, and the next one is on Tuesday, November the 10th. The main items in this month's bulletin are club news and report on the AGM, the first big broadcast, read by Ian, VK3JS, part two of The Uncertain Future of Amateur Radio, read by Bruce, VK3UV. Everyone's most welcome to tune in tomorrow and to join in the callbacks afterwards. As well as the 20-metre SSB transmissions on 14.150 MHz at 00 and 0100 hours UTC, that's 8 AM and 9 AM local time, there are other transmissions as well. At 8 AM, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network, Talk Group 5, while at 9 AM, Chris, VK6JI, will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres on 3620 kHz. At 10 AM, there's a transmission via the NewsWest linked repeater system, simultaneously with one on 40 metres, again by Chris, VK6JI, that's on 7088 kHz. On Wednesday, November the 4th, we have a new D-Star broadcast. This will be transmitted on D-Star Reflector 91C and will follow the D-Star Newsline and its world affiliates at 4:30 PM West Australian time. Remember too that you can download the bulletin at any time from today from the REOTC website. If you do listen via the internet, your feedback via email would be appreciated. Full details of all transmissions can be found on the REOTC website, www.raotc.org.au, but bear in mind that most of the times are stated in Melbourne local time, which is now 3 hours ahead of WA local time due to daylight saving time in Victoria. On Sunday, November the 8th, the RAOTC Bulletin will follow the HF broadcasts of the WIA News by Phil, VK6GX, and Chris, VK6JI. Once again, tune in tomorrow, and we look forward to hearing your call sign during the callbacks. And don't forget the lunchtime meetings at the Basie are now back on. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hello everyone, I'm Glenn, VK4DU, the president of RASA. There is a popular quote that defines insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. On last week's WIA News, the Vice President urged us to submit reports to the Intruder Watch system. But is the Intruder Watch system effective? Should VK amateurs continue to send in reports in some vain hope that things will change and intruders magically disappear? I ran the Intruder Watch system in VK when I was a WIA director. I negotiated the agreement with the ACMA. The Intruder Watch system collates reports from amateurs and passes them to the national regulator, in our case, the ACMA. The regulator prioritises the reports and conducts their own monitoring in accordance with ITU guidelines. If the monitoring proves that the interference is genuine and harmful, a formal report is forwarded to the ITU in Geneva, who then pass the report to the other administration or country concerned. There are specific ITU rules for monitoring and declaring interference harmful. It isn't a matter of just listening for a short while. A program of monitoring is required over a period of time. The most chronic QRM emanates from Indonesia on 40 metres. There have been literally thousands of monitoring reports submitted on the problem. Thousands of reports over more than 15 years, and the QRM is still there, louder than ever. RASA conducted our own Intruder Watch project in 2018. We submitted detailed reports on the 40-metre QRM to ACMA and requested they conduct formal monitoring with a view to a report through the ITU system. ACMA advised at the time that, due to pressure of other work, they were unable to conduct the required monitoring. So, At the moment, it appears that there is no point in VK Amateurs submitting intruder watch reports, as there is no mechanism for them to be processed, actioned, and fed into the ITU system. However, given that 40-metre QRM is as bad as ever and is clearly harmful, we have written to ACMA again, asking that they conduct official monitoring and report to ITU. We will keep you posted. Cheers for now.
WA Amateur Radio News was formed as an amateur radio club in 2014 and is an incorporated association. The primary purpose of the WA Amateur Radio News is to produce a weekly amateur radio news program for Western Australians. This is the News West program that you all know and love, and obviously are listening to now. We also do other rather ordinary amateur radio stuff like contests and special event stations. One of our objectives is to provide education in topics around amateur radio. In the past, we've run some training courses and more recently have produced the Perth Tech Symposium with presenters from WA, interstate and even internationally. As with many other events this year, Perth Tech was postponed, then cancelled, and because we can't be confident that COVID-19 won't be a problem for Australia, and indeed the rest of the world in 6 months' time, we're building a model of delivery for Perth Tech that will transcend any future restrictions due to pandemic management. This new model of Perth Tech, if we can make it happen, will open the way to utilise presenters from further afield with a broader range of topics. And that's about all we can say about it right now, because it's mostly still a set of ideas buzzing around in our heads. If the prospect of being involved in some of the things we do, whatever they may look like, kindles your interest, shout out. We're always looking for news presenters, whether it's an every week commitment or every now and then, and we're always looking for people who can write news or general interest stories. We just need our stories to be about or related to amateur radio, and preferably about or relevant to Western Australian amateurs. Have I convinced you to join the WA Amateur Radio News team yet? Give us a shout by email to secretary@vk6.net.
Welcome to Club Focus, the series, and this is a repeat of one I did a few years ago, and I've called it Clearing the Way. I was once asked to become a member of an incorporated body, and when I attended a meeting, I was amazed at how dysfunctional the group was. Before you speculate over which amateur radio group it wasn't. This was before my amateur radio days. Now back to this dysfunctional organisation. What made it interesting was that the service provided by this organisation was good, but cracks were showing in its administration. The chairman was being blamed for everything that wasn't working. People were arguing about who was right and who was wrong, and an ex-employee was suing for wrongful dismissal. You can understand my apprehension when I was asked to nominate for president at the forthcoming AGM, but anyway, I nominated for president, and with the predictable lack of competitors, I was elected. I called a committee meeting, and 2 minutes into this meeting I could see what the problem was. To cut a long story short, this group, although providing a reasonable service to its target group, had no plan or vision to guide them and support the work. Committee members were pulling in different directions and were clearly unaccustomed to following a structured agenda at meetings. Meetings seemed to take a long time to get nowhere, as thought bubbles popped into existence randomly and were verbalised. At the next couple of committee meetings, I talked to the committee about the need for them, and indeed the whole membership, to have a clear and shared understanding of where the group was going and how it would get there. To achieve this, I conducted a planning day, and I took the group through various processes that identified what the group should look like, how its services ought to be provided, and how this would be supported financially. Also, very importantly, we made lists of things that would block our way or impede our progress towards achieving our targets. The next part was important. We looked at each of those obstacles and put them into categories ranging from "we can fix that easily right now," through to "that can be fixed with a bit of help," or "that's entirely out of our power to fix." This helped us to understand which things we could achieve and to avoid wasting time, money, and energy on things we couldn't change. This process gave us a basis for the formation of a strategic plan, which outlined how we would go about our work, how the work would be developed, and how we would support the work with a sound asset management and financial plan. From that point on, meetings became a pleasure to run, because the business of the committee was to gauge how we were going compared with the plan, and ironing out any kinks in the plan. Having agreed goals and a clear vision enabled the group to get on with its work without the distractions of messy meetings and members pulling in different directions. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Here's an update on activities from RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. Our website, vkradioamateurs.org, is full of valuable information, so why don't you have a look? RASA recently held its AGM, at which the officers of the organisation were reappointed. We're pleased to report a steady increase in membership numbers over the year, and a small annual subscription fee from $8 to $10 was approved. This is excellent value, and the committee is actively encouraging new amateurs to join, and of course for those members whose subs are due, to rejoin. Online payments are secure and easy. A week after the AGM, we held an online forum that was well attended, informative, and has certainly given the committee thoughts for priorities as 2020 goes into 2021, and hopefully the effects of the pandemic reduce. It was clear that the association visits to radio clubs, both real and online, were considered very valuable. We intend to continue these, so if your club wishes to be involved, let us know. What does RASA do? Well, we represent and promote amateur radio for all Australian amateurs by providing support for improvement to the conditions of our hobby. We have some online resources that you should try. Do you have interference issues? And even if you're lucky and not afflicted, have a look at qrm.guru. This is a great resource. There you'll find a collated set of information on problem solving for many aspects of defeating QRM, together with case studies. There's a QRM kill kit for purchase at a price that's unlikely to be matched for quality gear. Then there's another initiative, Amateur Radio Technical Support, ARTS, which, as the name suggests, is a support base of technical information that can help you with your station, together with the ability to raise a ticket to obtain personal assistance. The URL is long and there's no point in reading it here, so follow the link from vkradioamateurs.org or set your search engine to Amateur Radio Technical Support. That'll do the trick. There's more. Our latest initiative is removing the confusion over what is required for the AMC-ACMA regulations assessment prior to obtaining a standard or advanced license. There's no direct syllabus for this, as it is derived from the components of the advanced standard and foundation syllabi and material on various websites. For those considering an assessment or wanting to brush up on the actual facts of our current regulations rather than continuing to promote urban myths, the URL is vkregs.info. If you didn't get that, follow the link from vkradioamateurs.org. Also, remember to register for the regular newsletter QTC Lite that is always full of current information, and of course our bi-monthly magazine QTC. This publication is receiving praise for the quality of its technical and other information. It is aimed at amateurs of all levels, and of course for those wishing to enter the hobby. And together with all of our material is freely available to all those interested. You don't need to become a member, but of course we'd encourage you to do so. After all, please recall that being heard is important. That URL again, vkradioamateurs.org. This has been Andrew, VK6AS, the RASA Vice President.
Hey, did you pick up any bargains at the NCRG 2020 Hamfest?
Ah, it got cancelled due to COVID uncertainty.
Oh. So the annual Hamfest run by the Northern Corridor Radio Group may have got cancelled, but the raffle is still on. Keep your ears open and your radio tuned to the news broadcasts, as in 2 weeks' time we'll make an official announcement as a raffle opens across VK. So, what's on offer? Real quick, first prize is an ICOM 9700, yours for the taking. Second prize, a Comet antenna VSWR meter. And finally, third prize is a Comet tri-band antenna for 6 metres 2 and 70 sems. Again, listen out in 2 weeks' time and we'll have more information for you how you can access the raffle to win one of these great prizes. For the NCRG, I'm Glyn, VK6PAW.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
There's no reason why you can't listen to News West. Unless, of course, you don't want to. And then I guess what I'm about to say won't concern you. And what am I about to say? I thought it was about time we refreshed your understanding of how and when NewsWest can be heard. NewsWest goes to air on Sundays, and all times given are Western Australian Standard Time, UTC plus 8. Each broadcast consists of the WIA National News, followed by NewsWest, and callbacks are taken after the broadcast. Callbacks are a headcount of who's been tuned in. First off the rank on Sunday mornings is Phil, VK6 Golf X-Ray, at 0600, and again at 0700 on 1845 kHz. Followed closely by Neil, VK6 November Sierra Bravo, on 3.620 MHz, and Chris, VK6 Juliet India, on 7.088 MHz. At 0900, Mark, VK6 Uniform Sierra Bravo, initiates the main broadcast on the linked repeater network, which covers most of the southwest of the state. The hub of the network is the VK6 RAP 2-metre repeater, covering much of the greater Perth area, along with the 6-metre repeater on 53.800 MHz. At the same time, Eddie, VK6 Yankee Alpha, relays the broadcast on 3.582 MHz and 14.13 MHz pointing north. On Sunday evening at 7 p.m, Mark repeats the broadcast on the linked repeater network, and Bob, VK6 Papa Oscar Papa, broadcasts the two news programs on 3.620. If all of that doesn't get to you, we're on podcast and available as MP3 download at vk6.net. NewsWest is also broadcast or available on demand on some repeaters in other states. NewsWest maintains the tradition of amateur radio news broadcasts, which commenced in Western Australia in 1931.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ, for NCRG's submission for Club Focus November. Despite not running Hamfest this year, we've decided to continue with the raffle regardless, this year carrying out the raffle online. First prize is an IC9700, second a Comet CA500 Mark II antenna analyzer, and third prize is a Comet GP15 tri-band antenna for 2 metres, 77 and 6 metres. Our lease extension is in progress, and we're hoping to be moving the new EME shack into place during November. We're in the process of welcoming three new members to the club this last month, Dave, Alan and Michael. We hope you enjoy the club as much as we do, and we look forward to your continued involvement. We participated in the Oceania DX contest with 7 operators in the multi-op single transmitter category, making just over 1,100 contacts for 2.2 million points. Last month has also seen individual members participating in a number of other contests involving CW and FT8. Use of the club on a day-to-day basis has also been increasing. It's great to see the club being used more now that we have everything running reasonably well. We'll be starting our tech nights again, starting the second Monday evening of November, with the first 4 months already booked for presentations. The club is located off Nangara Road, just east of the Tonkin Highway exit at Nangara Road in Whiteman Park. We meet every Sunday morning at 08:30 and every fourth Tuesday at 1900 hours sharp for our formal monthly meeting.
This is VK6 Amateur Radio News, VK6 ARN.
I received a brief report from the Bunbury Radio Club saying that they are still alive but haven't been up to much recently. It's good to hear from them anyway, and thanks to Bob VK6TJ for the report. Now you may remember that last week I related the story of Peter VK6KXW and his claim on the 432 MHz distance record, which he first submitted to the Wireless Institute of Australia in 2019, and after receiving no response or acknowledgement from the relevant WIA committee, he again submitted his claim in September of this year by registered mail. This too went unacknowledged by the Wireless Institute, even though the registered mail receipts showed that they had collected the claim. I became aware of Peter's predicament, and last week I ran the story on NewsWest, having first emailed the president of the WIA, Greg Kelly, asking him for his comment on the story. Well, I can tell you now that Greg didn't respond to my email last week or this week. Now, was it a mere coincidence that out of the blue, after nearly a year, that Peter's record turned up on the WIA's website during the week? I'm happy that the record set in a QSO between Peter VK6KXW and Lee VK2KRR on 432 MHz has finally been recognised, although it would have been nice for the Wireless Institute's president to have responded to my email, even with a short response along the lines of, "Thank you for your inquiry, I've passed it on to the relevant committee," but no, the old arrogance still persists. Whether or not they will ever admit it, the Wireless Institute of Australia responded by pulling their finger out and processing the record claim. Should I continue to poke the bear? You betcha. However, we won't let the Wireless Institute's tardiness and lack of courtesy detract from Peter and Lee's achievement. Congratulations, Peter and Lee, on your 432 MHz distance record, which has now been acknowledged, and may you set many more records.
Good morning, Western Australia. I assume the rest of the world can't hear us because our borders are closed. Hope they open soon and get on with our life. This is VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 1st of November. Today I have the following. From Alan, VK6 Tango Delta Mike. He's looking for a Kenwood Tango Mike Delta, 710 Golf, in good condition, please. No crazy prices, he says. That's a Kenwood Tango Mike Delta 710G for golf. If you have one and would like to dispatch it to a new home, please contact Alan, VK6 Tango Delta Mike. His phone number 0407-414719. 0407-414719er or VK6 Tango Delta Fox at gmail.com. That's VK6 Tango Delta Fox at gmail.com. That's for that Kenwood Tango Mike Delta 710 Golf. Next item, we're looking for, still looking for a spectrum analyzer by Hewlett Packard. If you can suffice for that one and give Martin a heads up, please call him for that Hewlett Packard spectrum analyzer, 0400 879 770. His number again is 0400 879 770. Martin, VK6 Zulu Oscar. Next I have from Jeff, VK6 Alpha Tango, for sale. He has the following items for sale: a Yaesu VHF UHF dual band transceiver, model Fox Tango 7800. I'll say that again, Fox Tango 7800, only one owner. Has 50 watts output on VHF, that's 2 metres, and 40 watts on UHF. Asking only $80, $80, a bargain at that price probably. And he also has a UHF CB transceiver, a GME, that's Golf Mic Echo Tango X-Ray 4400 model. Asking $60 for that. And he also has a Yaesu HF transceiver, model Fox Tango 890. 100 watts output, one owner, only, and $650 on that one. If you're interested, please phone Jeff. His phone number, 0408-004690. At 0408-004690 or VK6AlphaTango at BigPond.com. That's Victor Kilo 6 Alpha Tango at BigPond.com. That's all the new items I have for you. If you could help Kai with that loop antenna, still looking for a loop antenna design, please contact Kai, VK6 Kilo Sierra Juliet at westnet.com.au. Kai, VK6 Kilo Sierra Juliet at westnet.com.au. That's all for this week. Thank you once again for listening, and hope your ears aren't too badly burnt. This is VK6 X-Ray Victor, now clear and closing 7-3.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to News West. Thanks to the broadcasters and callback collectors. And thanks to the news team this week, Mike and Roy. Jeff had a note from his mum this week. And thanks to the guest contributors Clive, Glenn, Glyn and Andrew and Steve. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer, and I'm still looking for the right person to take over from me. We can even pay you 50% more than I get, if we can get the right person. You can express your interest in an email to the secretary at vk6.net. Next week we're into history. Perhaps you can make your own history. Just go and get on air and make some noise and see what turns up.